It is a strange and chaotic political year, pretty much everywhere in this country, but maybe no place is there more chaos than North Carolina. The whole country is watching as protests and boycotts over the HB2 transgender bathroom law cause major businesses to flee the state. The NBA pulled its All-Star game from Charlotte, and the NCAA now says that none of its championships will take place in the state. At the end of July, a federal court invalidated North Carolina's GOP-led voter ID law and attacked it for being specifically designed to discourage black voting. Then there's the election itself. GOP Senator Richard Burr, who's running for a third term, finds himself in a tight race with a relatively unknown Democratic opponent named Deborah Ross. And conservative Governor Pat McCrory is in danger of losing his reelection bid. Of course, behind all this, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Clinton has saturated the state's TV channels with ads. She's outspent Donald Trump by several folds so far, and she's had a huge ground operation in North Carolina for months. Donald Trump is only just starting to build up his in the state. Andy Yates is a Republican strategist and co-founder and senior partner at Red Dome Group in North Carolina. He's here to talk about North Carolina's chaotic political year and the GOP strategy for this upcoming election. Andy, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, you heard my description of all of the chaos in North Carolina, and none of it is a surprise to you. So how does somebody like you, a Republican strategist, operate in an environment like this and all this uncertainty?
Well, I think a lot of it is localizing your races. I do a lot of state legislative races in North Carolina, Todd, and what we're trying to talk about, you know, are the good things that have happened with the economy. The 4.7% unemployment rate, which is down from 11% 6 years ago, economic growth that's outpacing the rest of the South, and tax cuts, some of the positive things that happened with education, recent teacher raises. So a lot of it's trying to localize it, make it about specific accomplishments, make it about things that have been done for that district, and you know, zeroing in and focusing on the swing voters and treating each district differently, because there's all those issues you mentioned are impacting districts very differently. You know, I've got rural districts, urban, suburban districts that I'm working in, and it's really interesting to see some issues are positives in one district and negatives in the other. So I think that's a lot of it is taking it a district by district, you know, campaign by campaign approach.
Okay, so step back with me for 1 second from the district by district, you know, let's win the local race approach.
Sure.
And look at North Carolina as this one set, because there are all these countervailing forces going on. Federal courts invalidating the state's voter ID law, calling it racist. The governor's in trouble. The senator's in trouble. There are economic boycotts on the part of major corporations. So this is a very unpredictable and strange time.
It's very unusual. I mean, you've got some very interesting things going on. I'm not sure. I think the governor's definitely in trouble, and it's going to be interesting to see where his numbers go in the next few weeks. The recent polls have shown Senator Burr starting to trend back up. He's become more aggressive with his advertising. I think ultimately Senator Burr will be fine in North Carolina. The other interesting thing is Trump has been on an upswing there in recent polls, and you know, one of the big issues there, too, is you've got the economic story of North Carolina versus what Trump is saying, where you've got the, and HB2 factors into that, I think, but you've got the, you know, North Carolina side trying to say our economy is so much better, it's improved, you've got all that going on, then you've got Trump saying the economy in the U.S. is awful, that you've got jobs are going away, people being left behind, and so you've got countervailing messages even at the top of the ticket in the Republican ballot. You've got Governor McCrory wanting to say everything's great here economically, Trump in the state seemingly two or three times a week now talking about how bad the economy is and pointing out, for example, manufacturing sector jobs that have gone away in North Carolina.
Andy, I want to get personal with you just for 1 second, if I can, because you're a Republican who operates in that state. And this federal court decision was not equivocal about North Carolina's Republican-led voter ID law. And that decision invalidated that law and said, and I'm quoting, the new provisions target African Americans with almost surgical precision. That federal court basically said that North Carolina's voter ID law was specifically racist. Now, you're not responsible for that law, but as a Republican and a North Carolinian and somebody who's involved in politics there, how does that make you feel about the job that you do, how you do it, and what the goals are?
Well, I mean, one is I take high offense to that court ruling. I don't think the North Carolina law was very dissimilar from other voter ID laws that have been upheld by other courts. It's an issue where, you know, the public in North Carolina is on the side of voter ID. I've seen polls 80% support voter ID. It was very carefully crafted to provide an opportunity to get photo IDs for free to individuals who can't afford them. There's so many different things in life you have to have IDs for. I mean, I find the court ruling there to be very highly offensive. I don't think that was a take on it at all. I think it was an election integrity issue that was going on there. I think, unfortunately, there were some comments probably said by people on both sides that have been misconstrued that the courts were able to use to paint it that way. And we've got some folks in our legislature, just like most states do, who sometimes speak before they think and aren't careful about how they phrase things. But I think the idea that the bill was designed to target African-American voters is just blatantly false. And it held up to scrutiny from the state courts and was written to be very similar to other voter ID laws that have been upheld across the country.
So I guess my question about you, Andy, is you've got a clean conscience, right, operating as a Republican in that environment?
Absolutely, I do.
All right, Andy Yates. Well, President Obama won North Carolina in 2008. He lost it to Mitt Romney in 2012. So predictions on the presidential ticket, Trump-Clinton?
I think Donald Trump carries North Carolina, and I actually think he'll carry it with a slightly larger margin than Governor Romney did. I think his percentage of the vote will probably be lower. You're going to have more people voting for Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, more third-party votes this time. But I think Trump's on the upswing there. I think he's going to lose some votes in some urban areas that maybe Mitt Romney got, but he's going to make up for that in some of the suburban and rural areas. So I'm expecting Trump to win by 3 to 5 points in North Carolina if things kind of stay the way they are right now.
Predictions from North Carolina. It is a chaotic and confusing year all across the country, and perhaps the most chaotic in that state of North Carolina. Andy Yates, Republican strategist, co-founder and senior partner at Red Dome Group. Andy, thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you, Todd.
Well, for those of you in North Carolina, we've been asking what factors are at play in this election cycle. From Charlotte, talking with friends and clients leads me to believe that frustration bordering on disgust with the antics of our GOP legislature and governor is a driving factor to some of the chaos in our state. We want your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can always leave a comment at thetakeaway.org.